You may have a seat now. Thank you. The title of the message is God Revives His Children. And my teaching today is based on the revival of the kingdom of Israel by King Hezekiah. And my objective with this lesson is that we as a church understand that God is willing to revive His church in every level, from top to the bottom and from the bottom to the top. God revives and restores all who come to Him with a desire for renewal and a repentant heart. Let's stand, if you will, and let's say a prayer. God, in the name of Jesus, we came here this morning. Lord, we came to learn from You. We want to ask You in the name of Jesus to speak with us this morning. We open our hearts, our minds. Lord, we are here with one purpose, to learn from You. Speak with us. Use this Sunday school class to revive Your people, to restore our hearts, to reach for our families, to reach for our own lives, so that we will be revived and we'll be pleased to You. We thank You in Jesus' name. You may have a seat. Amen. Before I start teaching, I want to give you a background. After King Solomon, actually the nation of Israel had a king. The first king was King Saul. Then King Saul died, and then came David. Then after King David came Solomon. And after King Solomon, the nation of Israel is split in two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of Israel, which was the 10 northern tribes, and the kingdom of Judah, which included the tribe of Benjamin. So my teaching today is about the kingdom of Judah. There were some godly and mostly ungodly kings that reigned in Judah. However, after many ungodly kings, the nation of Israel deepened into idolatry and other abominations against God. So we're going to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1 through 11. So let's read, if you will. In the King James Version, it says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So the house of the Lord had the doors closed. And so he came and he opened the doors and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. So he brought them together. It's talking about unity. So the first thing he did was open the doors, and he brought them into unity and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. So he called them and called them for holiness. And he said, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord. He called them to holiness. In verse 6 it says, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. So the previous kings, they turned their back on God. And the verse 8 says, verse 7 it says, have they shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense, not offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel? The previous kings, they shut up the doors of the temple. And they put out the lamps, the lamps which symbolize the oil, the anointing, they put it all away. And have not burned incense, not offer burnt offerings in the holy place. Burnt incense in the book of Revelation talks about how the incense are like the prayer of the saints to the Lord. So they even stop that. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he had delivered them to trouble. Trouble. So when a country turns away from God, when a people turns away from God, what do you have? Trouble. To astonishment and the hissing as ye see with your eyes. For lo, Our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart, say, now is in my heart, everybody say, now is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. You can say, make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. Amen. That his fierce wrath might turn away from us. And verse 11, it says, my sons, be not now negligent. Negligent means, many times we think that we sin by the things that we do. When you neglect, you are sinning by negligence. So that means the things that you don't do. So he's saying, my son, be not now negligent. For the Lord had chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Amen. So God has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that he should minister to him and sing praises to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to bless you this morning for your word. How is wonderful your word, God. We want to thank you, Lord. How precious it is, Lord, that today we can read this story that happened so long ago. And we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same message, the same cry out is being done today. We want to thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. We see how the revival under King Hezekiah started with the leadership. We saw the three calls the King Hezekiah issued to the leaders of the people. He renewed call to purity, to holiness. He renewed the call to worship. He renewed call to service, to the praises of the Lord in the temple. We saw the revival begin with a leadership. But we also see that every person, it doesn't matter his or her position, has to respond to that call. So either from bottom to the top or from the top to the bottom, we all have a call. And we are all called to a revival. Amen. Can't you put your hands together and say, praise God? We need an individual response For every person, sometimes we come to church and we always are looking up to the ministry, what the ministry is going to do now, when the ministry is going to start talking about revival. But we also have to understand that a revival, it needs all levels of a people, has to be involved in that process. It starts from bottom to top, and it starts from the top to the bottom. In verse 7 says, how their fathers had shut up the doors and put out the lamps and did not burn incense or offer offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. They shut the doors of the temple. So when we relate to 2012 United Pentecostal Church, so are you glad that our doors are open in here? Hallelujah, praise God. Our doors are open. Thank you, Jesus. And we can have church, even if we don't have our own church, but we can have church in this place, in this auditorium. The word of the Lord is the lamp. They put away the lamps. The Bible says that your word is the lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. So we need more than ever to take in the word of God, carry it diligently with the oil of the anointing. Amen. The book of Revelations compare our prayer with a pleasurable scent of incense that God can smell. Because of disobedience, there were always trouble in Israel. All the troubles of Israel came from disobedience. It's in here. If you read from the book of Exodus to Malachi, all the Old Testament, all the problems of Israel is because of their relationship with God, because of their disobedience. Astonishment, hissing in captivity is not what we see in the world today. Nations in trouble, riots, turmoil, protest, astonishment. Astonishment means scandal. You get just shocked when you hear the bad news. But we have a good news in the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hissing means complaining, name-calling, mocking. Captivity is not just necessarily slavery in the traditional concept of a slave, that you have the person bound in there doing work. Captivity is in the sense of control. When you are under control, by regulations, not only physical control, but by mind control, speech control, and fear. Fear is the opposite of freedom. You can't have a fear and say, I am free. Because one is the opposite of the other. You cannot be free if you have the fear. So the people of Israel, when they departed from God, then they would start feeling fear. And the fear is one of the weapons of the devil to destroy, to kill, and to rob. But we don't have to have fear. We can have a faith and the freedom through the word of God, because God is faithful to keep his word, and God is calling us to revival today. He's calling this county, this city, our community. He's calling our country more than ever before. We need a revival across this country to reach for this world, the world that is godless. Hallelujah. But God is calling for a revival. He's starting from his people, his children. First, everything starts in Jerusalem. Remember, everything starts from his people. All the things that God is about to do in the world start with the church. Remember, Jerusalem first, the church first. We as agents, ambassadors of the kingdom of God in this world, we have a responsibility, amen, to keep seeking God and seeking Him for revival, for that refreshment, for that restoration that we need in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, it says, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. So what the king was doing was a warning. He was warning the people. He said that he might escape out of the hands of the king of Assyria. That's another preaching right there. But I have to tell you that the enemy is not resting. Is we fight a terrible enemy of our souls. So it is a case of life or death when we turn to God. Amen. Today we're going to see how the revival is spread from the leadership of the people of God and how the people responded to this letter that King Hezekiah sent out to the people of Judah, called them to celebrate the Passover. Even though they were celebrating in a month later, God is showing us, see, they were celebrating the Passover 1 month later. If you read the whole chapter, you're going to see that they were celebrating 1 month later. So God is showing the people that it's never late. It's never too late. God is willing to accept us when we turn to Him. It's never late. God is showing us that we can believe that God is like a heavenly father, a father that has his arms open, waiting for his children to come to him. And God will never turn away those that come to him with a humble heart. I believe that God placed the desire in the heart of Hezekiah to celebrate the Passover because God was going to use that time to restore the people. Why the Passover? The Passover, as you can recall, the Passover, it happens in Egypt when God told his people, slay the lamb and offer the lamb, burn the lamb, and take the blood of the lamb and put on the post of your doors with the sign of the blood of the lamb, because at night the spirit of death is going to go around in Egypt. And if you don't have the blood of the lamb on the post of your door, the spirit of death is going to come in your house and kill the firstborn. So this is the Passover when the children of Israel was having the Passover. The spirit of death was passing over the children of Israel. And also, they were being released from Egypt. Today would be when we walk away from the world, we walk away from the religious system of the world, and we come to Jesus. We are born again. We are made a new creature. The blood of the Lamb that was in Egypt is a representation of the blood of Christ that wash away all our sins and make us white as snow. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is no better time for revival than today. Hezekiah sent a letter to all people. Let us today start sending, not necessarily a letter, it's up if God put in your heart, but let's send a cry, an invitation, a prayer, a plead to our families, to our friends, to our co-workers, and to this nation to come back to God. My prayer for you this morning is that God will revive you and restore your relationship with Him and strengthen that relationship with Him. It's very important that we know that we revival, when I preach about revival to the, in our church today, that means for those that already saved, those that already in the kingdom of God. Because what we know is the definition of the word revival means that you are already alive and you come kind of get a little bit, you know, in coma a little bit, and then it comes and revives you. Amen. So that's what revival is. It's a restoration. It's a fulfillment of more power from God, more strength from God. It's a refresh pour of the Holy Ghost upon our lives to give us the strength to reach for the lost. Because the main purpose of God is that we reach for the lost. The word revival means to bring to life again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Put your hands together and say, thank you, God. I want to walk in revival. The Bible says that we have to walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm talking about. It's the renewal every day. Walk in newness of life with the heart in God. We cannot revive a lost person because they never been alive. In the first place, they never been alive. Before we come to Christ, the Bible says that we were spiritually dead. We were physically alive, but we were spiritually dead. No wonder Jesus said that we must be born again. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, it says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. In order to revive something, it has to have been alive to begin with. Some people might get saved during a revival, and that's our goal. As God revives His church, the goal is to revive the people of God so that they will go out and win the lost and win those that are in darkness. In this passage, we find four very real reminders to the people of Judah of God's promises. Revive and to restore those who are seeking with all their hearts. It's not just say, I'm seeking God, but with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your will. The heart of today's message is that God can revive and restore all that come to Him, all that humble themselves, all that desire to be revived and have a repentant heart. God issued a love appeal to His people through King Hezekiah. And today, God is issuing a love appeal to this world through the church, through you. You are the church. You are the walking, the portable church. You see, we are representatives of God. Wherever we go, when we leave this building, this is just four walls. So God wants to use you. The appeal is summed up in one verse. Was not like a long preaching. God said to them, God said to them, return to me and I will return to you. Return to me and I will return to you. That's it. Return to me and I will return to you. It's so simple. It's so profound. That message has not changed since 716 BC, almost 3,000 years ago. God is the same. He never changes. It's men that keep changing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ultimately, God will never leave us or forsake us. But there are many times that we, as a people of God, we depart from Him. They are like times of dryness, times when the glory departs in our own lives, times that we think that we can do better than God, times that we think that we know better than God. In spite of Judas' unfaithfulness to God, idol worship, God reassured them of His love by pleading with them, return to me. I still love you. God loves us with unconditional loves. He loves us 24/7, 365 days of the year. God is loving us. And He says, return to me and I'll return to you. Maybe today, maybe you know someone that have departed from God or departed from worship God. Someone that has gone to the gods of this world. Maybe even some of you today experience dryness. God is issuing an appeal to you this morning. Return to me because I still love you and I will return to you. There is nothing more intelligent than serving God. There is nothing smarter than seeking God. Because God, He is the source of all knowledge, all instruction, all wisdom comes from God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Do we have a prodigal son and daughters that we know of? In Luke 19, verses 11 through 32, it talks about how this son, and he left his father's house, went into a far country, out of God's will, and he blew up all his inheritance. He spent all his time enjoying in a sense of the flesh, because it's not really joy. There is no really joy in this world. It's all deceiving and lying. And in his mind, he spent all his money. So in the end, he end up working with the pigs. When he finally, the Bible says that he came to his senses. So that means that he was not in his right mind. When he came to his senses, when he came to the common sense, for the word common sense, then he thought, if I go back home, maybe my father can hire me to work for him. And it's better working for my father because he treats his employers better than he treats, than I've been treated in here. So he went back home. Now let's focus on the father, if you will. Think about that father that let his son go away with his part of the inheritance. And this father was probably every day praying for his son that was out. Probably his father even is not in the Bible. I'm just trying to get you to think about his father. Imagine you as a father, as a mother, your son take a big lump of money and go to a strange land. What would you do? Wouldn't you inquire about what's happening in that land? Why he hasn't talked to me when he left? And his father probably was wondering. And I can imagine this father every day looking through the window to see his son, if his son was coming back with his, if he would have a binoculars, he would be having there, searching for his son. One day he sees far away his son coming and coming closer. And then he realized there was a man coming, and he thought, it might be my son. And he probably jumped, and he did like this. There might be my son coming over there. And he cleaned his eyes, and when he saw there was his son, he probably jumped and he started running again, running towards his son. And the Bible says that he came to meet his son. So he left his house and went forward to his son. And as the son started talking to his father and apologizing and asking his father for a job, the father didn't even let him finish what he was talking. The father started kissing him. Hallelujah. So when we come to God, even before we start praying, God already knows what we're going to be praying for. And God is already working towards our goodwill. Amen? Praise God. Put your hands together. Say, praise God. God is a good God. In spite of many of our shortfalls, our mistakes, God wants us back. God said, come home. And there was also a preacher of God that he tried to get away from God. And he was swallowed by a big fish. And you can imagine Jonah in the belly of the fish, how he prayed. And how he prayed from the belly, and God gave him the second chance. In the belly he prayed, he didn't want to be digested by the fish. Like, you don't want to be digested by this world. So once you are in the belly of the fish, you can either be digested or you can be spit out. And God can spit you out of this world. He can spit you out a life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Many of God's people were cut to the heart by God's appeal to return to Him, and they responded. So if you read the Bible verse, the Bible says that they humble themselves. See, they humble. Pride is a barrier to revival. And many times, even when we are born again, we are seeking God, and we still have to clean off all pride. Sometimes we get easily offended by our own mistakes, and we don't want to recognize our own faults. God gave them singleness of heart to follow the king's command. They had unity. The nation of Israel had unity. They agreed that returning to celebrate Passover was the right thing to do, even though it was already past the time. So again, God is always willing to have us to come to Him. God wants us to come to Him. It doesn't matter the time. The best time is today, right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The first thing they did was to tear down all the pagan altars. We know that idolatry is not necessarily a statue. Back then, they had the statues of Baal, and all these statues of God and creeping things and a body of a lion with the head of a man, or vice versa. Those are considered the idols. But today, there's many types of idols in our lives. If our hearts are truly repentant, we will respond in the same way that the children of Israel did. They humbled themselves, and they admitted that they need the revival. We need to admit that we need the revival. It's not an option. It's not something that, maybe not. It's something that we need. We should be desperately in need of a revival. We should be Christians, militant. Amen? We should be, as Christ says, an army of believers in Christ, proclaiming the kingdom of God. We need to recognize that this church, this community, we need a revival to reach for this town. And this is the right thing to do. Tear down the pagan altars of our lives. Forsake the gods that try to take the place of God in our lives. Especially in America today, we have the God of entertainment. And we have to put God first, even before any entertainment. Or God, let God deal with you individually. Don't be tie up only to the words that I said. You know in your life the area that God wants to work with you, because God is a personal God. He deals with us in a personal level. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We will respond this morning with a repentant heart. Will you rend your heart and not your garments? The people celebrate the Passover. They brought their sacrifices. They confessed their sins. God wants us to bring in our sacrifices. God wants us to bring our bodies to Him, our lives to Him, our talents to Him, our time to Him. Those are the things that we sacrifice. And God says, I want obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And amen. Praise God. Put your hands together. Say, praise God. God wants obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifices. And our sacrifices could be our own lives, our times, our talents. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But there were many in the assembly that had not sanctified themselves. There were. If you read the Bible verse, you're going to find that some people did not sanctify themselves. But instead of pointing fingers and embarrassing them, so the King Hezekiah prayed for them. That's what is written in the Bible. So pray for them. Pray. God would provide the atonement for their sins, for those who prepare their hearts to seek God. Pray for others. The people might not have known exactly what they need to do, but they had a desire for revival. And in verse 20, it says, and God listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Verse 20. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. God restored them. And they were able to keep the Passover. God is listening to you today. This is what this revival effort is all about. And all the prayer that has gone into this time. Let's pray for restoration. Amen. Let's stand where you are right now. Let's pray for a restoration. Let's pray for a revival of the word of the Lord is starting in this church, reaching for this community, reaching for this town, reaching for this country. Amen. More than ever, we need a revival. We need a revival in this country. Let's close our eyes right now. Let's pray. If you think about someone that needs to come back to the Lord, let's start for those that we know that have been here. Brothers and sisters that came to this church, they sat next to you and they talked to you. They are friends with you and they not coming to church. Let's start praying for them. Amen. Let's focus on Israel, and then we can reach for Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. That means let's reach for those that who are believers, but they are, for some reason, they step back a little bit. But let's pray that God can bring a revival upon all our families and the people that we know that need it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before you as we preach this morning, God. You speak to us about revival, about restoration among your people. Lord, we pray that you reach for those that for some reason they step back. They backslide. For some reason, they no longer in church. Lord, we pray for those people that were baptized in Jesus' name. For those people that came to this church, they got the Holy Ghost. But for some reason, they not here today. Lord, we pray that you reach for them through your power, through your grace, through your loving kindness, mercies. Reach for their hearts, oh God. Hallelujah. Stir up, oh God, a hunger for you, a thirst for you. Lord, make them to miss you, to miss the church, to miss the worship, to miss, oh God, the praises, the prayer. Lord, touch their hearts that they will miss coming to church and listening to your words. Put a hunger in their hearts, oh Lord. Revive your people. Restore your children. Oh God, we cry out to you this morning. As your word says, it's the people, they are called by my name. If they humble themselves, I will heal their lands. God, we humble ourselves this morning. We pray to you this morning. We are desperate for a revival. Only you, oh God, can give us the strength. Only you, God, hallelujah, can break all that is blocking us from serving you completely. Break in the name of Jesus. Loose your spirit upon us. They will be free, oh God, to speak your word and to proclaim to our families, our friends, wherever we go, we're going to be proclaiming your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, put your hands together. Praise God. Say praise God. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may have a seat as I'm going to conclude. In the Chronicles chapter 30, it says, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites, that's Chronicles 25. And all the congregation came out of Israel, and the strangers, it says in there, like United States is one of the countries that have more foreign people from all over the world than any other country. All of those that dwell in Judah rejoice. So there was a great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not like in Jerusalem. If we're going to have a revival, we are going to get the joy of God. Can you see our church, our country in that situation? You see, compare Israel with America. What a beautiful picture we can imagine. You have plans for your life. God has plans for your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our politicians, they have plans for a country. God has plans for this country. Hallelujah. And God's plan is the best. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what happened in the end? 2 Chronicles 30:20. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord heard to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the Lord hearkened to the Hezekiah and healed the people. Put your hands together and praise God. God keeps his word. He is not like the son of man that he would lie, and he healed the people. Hallelujah. Let's stand one more time and let's thank God for this preaching, this teaching. God, we want to thank you, Lord, for all the learning that took place today. Revive us. Help us, oh Lord, to follow you, to do your perfect will. Bless our family, our children, our friends, our co-workers. And we believe that if we come to you, you are going to heal our land. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Put your hands together. Praise God. And you.